The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Lepondre looking to get close side of Font. Lepondre away from David. 3-1 running. 3 points running.
Hello and welcome to the Empire Rolls podcast, supported by Blue Collar Street Food. Well, it is a very upbeat place today, isn't it, Reading FC fans? We are here to talk about a 2-0 win over Bristol City, and I've been joined by Matt Lansley. How you doing, Matt?
Oh, could not be better. Like, Saturdays when your club wins football, as we tweeted last night, it's so understated actually how much it makes you feel better. You know, three losses on the bounce, and you just come back with a performance and a win like yesterday, sorry. And yeah, just perfect.
Football's coming home, isn't it? The beautiful game. It was a pretty ugly one, wasn't it, in many ways? But it doesn't really matter. We also had a little bits of quality, which we're going to talk about. But up to seventh in the league again. I mean, you've got to say that as a fantastic start to the season, considering where I thought we were going to be. 25 points already.
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes without saying, you know, if anybody asked Reading fans, you know, kind of if you thought we would have 25 points after 16 games now, you know, I think most fans would have just snapped your hand off. You know, you look back to kind of the almost just desperate situation we had at the start of the season with the players in contract situation, kind of the embargo and kind of the difference in feel in the ground, in the fan base. It's like, I'm sure we'll come onto it later, but I think it's almost time that I think some people or we start just giving Ince some credit, because I think the job he's done, of course you had Bowen behind the scenes as well, kind of waving his magic wand as well, getting things in check. But yeah, I think it's, he deserves a lot of credit, Paul Ince, because again, as well, just as people think the ship might be going astray a bit, it's just come back with a good win, back on track into seventh place, and it kind of just calms the nerves a bit. So yeah.
Yeah, totally. And you did mention Mark Bowen there. I was lucky enough to go up to Bearwood a couple of days ago and record a podcast with him. It's a two parts. One first one's like me having a chat with him about general topics about the direction of the club, what kind of state it was when he came into the club. He was really, really honest and open. The second part is fan questions that you sent in to us via Twitter. I put a lot of them directly to him. He answered them straight up as much as you can in his position. You've listened to it, Matt. What did you think of it so far then?
It's just like I think I liked Bowen the first time when he was at the club. He was talking a lot of sense. It's a little bit like Ince kind of in his interviews, but I mean, just a lot of the stuff that he's saying, and yeah, I've been lucky enough to have listened to it, and I cannot wait for it to go out and for everyone to listen to it. But it's just refreshing just to hear some honest truths. You feel like he's being very genuine when he's actually talking about certain situations at the club and kind of what he wants to see at the club, how he wants things done. Yeah, it's a really exciting one. It's just great that we can get podcasts out like that and get listening, guys, when it comes out.
Yeah, totally. It will be out tomorrow morning. So get listening. Let us know your thoughts on it as well, because feedback is always great for us. So let's get back to the game from yesterday. Baba Rahman came into the team, as did Lucas Jow. Fauna and Yidim going out, who was injured, suspended. I'm not quite sure if he's injured or not. That one's not quite clear. But we made a pretty decent start, didn't we? And what did you make of the changes then that you saw there, Matt?
Yeah, I think me and Alex, I think, have wanted to see Zhao, Ince and Mate up front for quite some time, because it's quite a dynamic kind of attack when you think of it like that. So it was really nice to actually finally see that. I think we wanted to see that at Swansea, didn't quite happen, but yeah, seeing that kind of on the start sheet yesterday was nice, because it was just nice to actually just finally see almost what we'd wanted to see for a while. I think Yeardom is injured. He would have been suspended today, but kind of tactical injury. Well done, Yeards, on that front. but yeah, I think even though I was a bit worried singing Bengue at the back as well, because was he 20? You know, playing centre back, it meant that, you know, you had pretty much, what's Tom McIntyre, I think 23, you know, as your oldest centre back. Holmes captaining the squad, big test for Holmes. Like, we'd kind of seen him last year when he had to control, you know, a back four. He kind of, it's harsh to say and tough to say, but he did kind of struggle and crumbled at times. So you kind of looked at it and you thought, just hopefully he can kick on. He's done so well so far this season. The step up he's made controlling that back four, you know, it goes without saying, it's been really, really good. But yeah, it still kind of feels you a bit of worry, but yeah, it's still nice that we can bring players like Baba Rahman in, you know, when Yeardom's injured. So there's quality there.
Yeah, I feel Tom Holmes and Timo were very good yesterday. Was it their best ever performances? No, probably not. But they looked very solid. Bristol City offered very, very little in the whole of the match. I don't think Lumley had a save at all to make. But in the fifth minute, we have our first chance. Atkinson gives the ball away for them in their own half. Pretty much summed up Bristol City. Sloppy. Ince takes it down the right-hand side, crosses the ball in. Matey can't quite stretch enough to get enough kind of like power and contact on the header, but a good start from us.
That was brilliant. And kind of Ince again, just making menace of himself and kind of the midfield and bringing it forward really well. You know, we've seen this time and time again from Ince, and puts in a very good ball. You know, he does brilliantly on the right. Anyway, kind of a couple of step overs, making space for himself to actually get that ball. And it's a brilliant cross. It's just a shame. Mate tussling a bit really with the Bristol defender. I mean, it would have been a brilliant start had that have gone in, you know. Like, I was when it came in, it's kind of the situation you want to see Mate in, isn't it? You know, when coming in on crosses like that, diving headers, he's normally very good at them. Maybe just the defender did a good job on him, just kind of tussling with him enough to kind of keep him away from the action for split second enough to mean that he couldn't get there. But I mean, it was a positive start. I mean, it kind of quietened down a bit really after that, didn't it? Nothing really happened. I think Jeff Hendrick had a bit of a snapshot, but I mean, kind of after the midweek performance and chucking away a two goal lead, it was probably kind of, some fans might not like you saying it, but it's probably what you would have wanted, because it could have been very easy to come out and, you know, they came out quite fast and then it just settled into the game. But the one thing you didn't want to see was obviously Bristol taking the lead, because, you know, when you're three games winless and, you know, you've just thrown away a two goal lead in the week, if you concede first, it's you get all the naysayers coming out, you might get a bit of booze and that, and it just deflates the whole kind of atmosphere. So it was almost kind of, it was good to see a solid start anyway. You know, some people might have said it was boring, but I mean, I think the Reading defence did brilliantly really to stop Bristol from really creating anything or doing anything.
Yeah, pretty much the first half. There really wasn't much else to talk about.
Not really much more to say.
No, I'd love to be able to like sit here and say, oh yeah, there was chances. We, I don't know, Lumley made great saves, or defensively we had good moments. Just nothing really happened, did it? We looked fine. Bristol City gave absolutely no threat in the first half. They were particularly poor in that one. Second half, kind of start off similar again from us. And this is what we wanted to see, isn't it? It's actually not going, you know, crazy and kamikaze in games and going too full and gung-ho, but we want to see the team attacking a little bit, don't we? And I think we saw the balance yesterday. Not absolutely spot on, because I don't think it was, but it was better.
It was, yeah, and like I say, especially after the week really that we had, you know, it could have been very easy to get, like I say, go a bit gung ho or start with a bit of bit lower confidence, but it just didn't, it didn't quite happen, you know. So which is nice to see. And I think it's one thing we've always had under Ince so far, like whenever we've had a bad game or a couple of bad games, they've always been able to come back and, you know, be resolute. And I think, to be honest, a team like Bristol City, the way they play, is probably the teams will do better against, you know. It's the good footballing sides that seemingly we struggle against, you know, the Swanseas, the Sheffield Uniteds of this league. Really the only kind of anomaly to that theory is obviously the Rotherham game, but the less said about that one, the better. So it was good to see. And kind of, again, they started on the front foot in the second half and kind of I think it came from a second corner, didn't it? Because Ince had a blocked shot that kind of goes out for a corner on the right-hand side. And Ince puts in an absolute peach of a corner. And I mean, Loom couldn't really do much wrong with that, could he, Paul?
No, nothing at all. I mean, to miss from there, I mean, we have seen players miss from there, haven't we, Matt? We definitely have. But
sadly, there's a growing list that kind of too long to list.
Yeah, we have. But yeah, it's a perfect header. The goalie can do nothing about it. For me, it had a little tiny bit of the Swansea goal against us during the week.
Loom, it was it was very...
Yeah,
it was almost identical, actually. Loom making that near post run, not picked up, flicking it on... And yeah, it's nice to see it the other way around. I'd rather not remember the Swansea one personally. If we can keep it to us just doing them in the future, that'd be perfect. But
it's just lovely to see a score from set pieces and not concede from them.
Yeah, like I think
we want to do is like create that version, because Bristol City then do go on to have a lot of set pieces later on. But talking about the goal again, what did you think of Loom yesterday? Because he is a mixed bag, isn't he? You're never quite sure what's going to come up with him.
Yeah, I think Ince kind of summed it up in his post-match interview, I think, about Loom. You know, like when he's good and when he's firing, he's a man mountain. But there was times even yesterday where sloppy passes in the midfield gives away the ball. His first touch, you know, we've said it a few times on this podcast, isn't always the best, you know. So, but like, how can I not love a guy that has a song to the sound of Wenger Boys? You know, like, I mean, come on, that was just, yeah, that was good yesterday. But I mean, yeah, like we just need to see more consistency out of Loom. I think that's the bottom line. Joking aside about him, I think he could be a real kind of cult hero and kind of fans' favourite. Well, I think he is almost a bit of a fans' favourite just with his song alone. But he just needs to find this consistency and almost needs to calm down a bit, I always feel, because I think he always gets a bit almost overexcited when he goes in for a tackle, or if he gets the ball, has the chance to make a pass. And I think that's sometimes where you see the mistakes creeping in this game. If he can kind of get on top of that, you've got a good player in there, because, you know, it was he 6'2", 6'3", 6'4". I mean, he dwarfs anyone my size. That's not hard, albeit, but like, but you know, it's just a mountain of a guy. So yeah, hopefully he can kind of, maybe it's confidence, I don't know, but hopefully, you know, yesterday and kind of the love he got from the Reading fans, hopefully he can use that and just take that forwards from there.
Yeah, let's hope so. And also this fellow midfielder, Jeff Hendrick, got a lot of love from Paul Ince after the match, saying he was...
Rightfully so, I think.
Yeah, yeah, the best player on the pitch, a Premier League performance. I got to say, in the first half, it was okay. It was okay. It wasn't terrible or anything. But the second half, he definitely upped his game. There was a big difference in quality there. You could see it. And you're never going to get that every week with Jeff Hendrick. You're just not going to get it. That's why he's not in the Premier League. You know, that's why he's with us. But I think if he can knock out 10, 11 performances like that, and it's going to help us get wins, it'd be huge over a season. Absolutely. Massive. So you've got to stick with the players. It's like you see players getting abuse all the time, like Lucas Giles gets a lot at the moment. These players are in a situation where under an embargo, we're having a fantastic start to the season. Does that mean you can't say they're poor? No, of course you can. But they're trying. I think there's only players that aren't actually trying and don't care for the team. And I think you've just got to like stick with them a little bit, even when you're ups and downs. But what did you think of Jeff Hendrick yesterday, Matt?
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Yeah, I think kind of you summed it up quite well, I think, there, to be honest. Is like the first half was almost a bit of a kind of just a typical Hendrick performance we've seen this year, not doing too much badly, but also not really getting into the game that much. So it's hard to say that he's playing bad, but then when he's not doing that much, there's that balance there. But I mean, the second half, I mean, he was fantastic. I think we've seen a defensive side to him yesterday as well in the second half that we've not really seen all too often. You know, he was getting back, putting in good slide tackles, like say, kind of being the Jeff Hendrick that, like, I think we kind of hoped that we'd signed. You know, when you think back to kind of when he was all firing, you know, for Burnley and that in the Premier League, you know, you really had a battling midfielder who could do, you know, a bit of everything, but we're just not really seen that. And I guess Hendrick's very much like Loom, where we're just needing consistency, and just not consistency of not doing that much, which, you know, he seems to almost fall into too much this season. Just the consistency of like a second half like yesterday, because I think he was very, very good yesterday in the second half, and he's got a lot of stick. Again, he got a lot of stick after Swansea as well for his performance. But yeah, we just need consistency from both those in midfield, because if you get those two firing, that's a really, really solid midfield you've got with those two. And then you've got the likes of Fauna on the bench behind him as well. So get them firing and you're in a really good position.
Yeah, totally. And that's exactly what we want, isn't it? That competition in the squad. Bristol City then gone to make multiple substitutions. I think indication of their performance yesterday is the fact they used all five subs. I think tells you where they're at. Yeah,
I mean, Nigel Pearson talked about it after the game, like the fact that they made the three substitutions because his team just wasn't giving anything, and he was talking about how they came off a, you know, really good win in the week. I think was it Sheffield United? I think they beat in the week, you know, and he put out the same squad and they just couldn't give him the same effort, and talking about how it's worrying. I mean, you love when you hear an opposition manager talking like that when it's your team that's kind of inflicted that pain on him. But yeah, I think it just goes to show how the good that Reading was doing. Like yesterday, I don't think it was all that Bristol City were that bad. I think a lot of credit has to go to Reading and the back line. And kind of on that topic, I just want to pick out Tom Holmes as well. I know we've talked about him a little bit already, but I think yesterday, certainly I saw a side to Tom Holmes that I'd not really seen before. You saw him, obviously, captain, being vice captain and Yeardham being out, he's the natural, obviously, captain to step up in Yeardham's place. But certainly in the second half, you saw a really commanding side to Tom Holmes. There was multiple times when I think Hoylett was out on the right and pushing up a lot. Holmes was communicating him, telling him to drop back a bit, keeping the shape. I mean, he commanded the back three fantastically as well. Even when Abbey came on, it was just a very, very mature performance from Tom Holmes, and one that we'd not really seen before. But I think we're seeing an evolution of a very good championship defender in Tom Holmes, and being 22, I think it's a really, really good player that we've got there.
Yeah, no, it's exciting, isn't it? Having young players in the team. Obviously, it's a huge bonus that they're Reading fans, him and T-Mac, but you want them to be good. That's the overriding factor. You love the story.
It doesn't coming in. And but it doesn't matter if they're Reading fans if they're...
As well. I mean, they will both want to be seen as good players, first of all, not Reading fans. That's like the icing on the cake, isn't it? That's what they want, isn't it? But the cherry on top of the cake, maybe I'll get my
I think the biggest thing about yesterday as well, though, I think just kind of finish up on it, is you can see why Tom Holmes has been appointed vice captain. I think yesterday it was just one of those performances that I think you look at and it will go under the radar, because I think people will think there was players that did more in the game yesterday, but I think it can't go unheard what Tom Holmes did at the back yesterday, controlling the back three, back five, whatever you want to call it. It was really, really good.
Yeah, totally. And there are some moments when Bristol City came close to coming back into the game because they did up their game after we scored a little bit. I mean, it wasn't constant pressure. The fact that Lumley didn't have a save kind of tells you everything again. But there were moments, if they weren't switched on, they could have equalised and it could have been a totally different situation. We bring on Shane Long, and I'm thinking this is exactly the player you want to bring on in these games, isn't it, Matt? Because he just knows how to shithouse the Championship. And is he going to score a bundle of goals? Probably not. But will he assist some goals? And will he cause problems? And will he be a complete pain in the ass to play against? Yes, he will. And do we love Shane Long? Yeah. Yes, we do, don't we?
I mean, I think the love for Shane Long is unconditional. I mean, I was saying it to the chap that I stand next to in Club 1871, Adam, during the, or actually he said it to me as well, that you just love it when you see him coming on. You still get this little emotional feeling when he comes on. And I mean, I'm beaming from ear to ear when I'm talking about him. You know, it's just, it's a weird one with him. But I mean, yeah, Shane Long, give him the keys to the city. We fucking love the guy. Excuse my French, but yeah, I just, and to see him still do kind of what he's doing in the Championship at his age. I mean, there was a moment as well, kind of just after he came on, where I think it was just after a throw-in, he hustles the defender, turns him, runs knee to the byline, cuts it back to, I think it was Hendrick who lays it off to Winston. I mean, that should have been, you know, almost 2-0 at that point. But, you know, you're seeing, you just see a really experienced player in Shane Long with all the nous of, you know, a top Championship player, Premier League player. He just knows what to do. He knows what effort's needed. He knows where to put his body. He knows when to chase after balls. You know, his footballing brain is just so good. And it, of course, that you can say that comes with experience and that, but I mean, like, I just, I think every Reading fan loves him whenever he comes on. Like, I just really hope this isn't his only season with us. I really hope we like re-sign him for another season, because it's just Shane Long. I just want him to be here until he retires. I just, yeah, I love him, and I think everyone does.
We'll have to name this the Shane Long Love Podcast, isn't it? I'm not going to break into song because nobody wants to hear that. I've done that occasionally on the podcast, and I think everyone just turns off at that point, and I totally respect that. But also someone who gets so much love and who gets the second goal is Andy Carroll. He's such a popular player at the club. I think he's better to bring on in most games, but I'm sure he'd love to be starting in these games. But it's a good finish. Shane Long sets him up, completely bullies Closer, who the Bristol City defender, who I think Bristol City fans were raging with after the game. They were not happy with him at all. But it's just a good finish, isn't it? I mean, you know, it closed out the game. It made everything so much nicer. And Nathan Abbey can now, like, you know, enjoy his last few minutes on the pitch, can't he? Because he knows it's probably going to be a win. Nelson Abbey, not Nathan.
Yes. Yeah, no, I mean, it was good to see Abbey coming on. I think that was his Championship debut. So, you know, hats off to him. Full credit to him. Hope it was a good day, obviously, for him and his family and everyone. It's obviously, you'd think it'd be a good one, obviously, with a win there. But I mean, the goal at the end, I mean, like, I never really thought we were going to lose that game yesterday, because I mean, Bristol City just offered absolutely nothing. But I mean, again, we were talking about Hendrick earlier, but I mean, he does absolutely brilliantly in the midfield again. Hendrick almost just bullying, I think it was their number 17, I can't quite remember the chap's name, but winning the ball in the midfield and just putting this fantastically weighted pass to Long. But I mean, so much credit again has to go to Long there for the run. And then, I mean, he's obviously 5'10" or so and out muscling a big centre back. Come on. You know, like, he's just an absolutely fantastically there. And kind of, you were kind of wondering at that point, does he take to the corner flag? Does he try and get it into Carroll? But I mean, he just brings it in beautifully. How he actually threads the ball across to Carroll as well. Because when you rewatch it, he's kind of put it in between both centre backs and with the perfect weight on it and to Andy Carroll at the back post. And I mean, Andy Carroll does what Andy Carroll does. Fantastic finish. And I mean, the stadium just absolutely erupted. It was a weird one. It was almost like a last minute winner, that goal with like some of the celebrations. I mean, there was absolute pandemonium in Club 1871, hugs going left, right and centre, people that you don't even know, like, hugging each other. It was just brilliant. And I don't know whether or not it was Long to Carroll, because that's just a combination of dreams, isn't it? When you think of an assist from Long, a finish from Carroll, it's just brilliant. But yeah, it just finished off a really solid game, I think, all round, really, you know, for the team. I think 2-0 probably was fair. You almost could have said it probably should have been 3 or 4-0 with some of the chances that we had, and forgetting as well that Bubba Rahman hit the post as well early in the second half. You know, it was just a cracking performance. But yeah, that goal at the end, celebrations to match, it was just the perfect end, really, to a win that broke obviously our losing streak.
I'm now thinking of "Oh, What a Perfect Day" the song, and I'm just don't do it, Paul. Do not break into song. Don't do it.
How about you two? You two and What a Wonderful Day.
Oh, it's like there we go. It's we can do, but we're not going to do them. So basically, a perfect situation for us. Clean sheet, which is always a bonus for us, isn't it? We love those, because defensively at the start of the season, we looked real shaky. And other points we've let in quite a few goals recently. But this was a game we had to win. We went out and done it. It eases the pressure a little bit on the games coming up against Burnley and Luton. I think we're going to find Burnley really tough. Against Luton, you don't know. It's not impossible. But Burnley showed their power yesterday. 2-0 down the sun and still going in on to win 4-2. I think they're starting to pick up now, aren't they? They're starting to like really show their class there. And that's our next match. How do you think that one's going to go, Matt? And what is your score prediction?
It's a tough one. And I think Burnley as well, I think they're like unbeaten in 14 as well. You know, their run that they've actually gone on is quietly kind of gone under the radar. They've been drawing a lot of games. But it's tough to really kind of predict a win, isn't it? I'd love to say that we're back up today with a win. I'd always take a draw, or most places we go to, I'd take a draw away from home. If we can pick up a draw at Burnley, just back up this week's performance with, you know, a 1-1, even a 0-0, you know, just two clean sheets on the bounce after kind of the run we went on, a bit of a winless run, you know, to kind of back it up with a good 2-0 at home to Bristol and a draw away to Burnley. I don't think many will be able to really complain at that. So once, yeah, give me a draw and I'll take that all day.
I'll be ecstatic if we get a draw there. I mean, I might sound negative, but their form is really good, really impressive.
It is.
I'd love to win there, obviously. But I think being realistic, I think it's going to be one of those games that we're probably going to lose this season, but then we move on. I think
hopefully, hopefully we can channel our inner Nick Blackman and Lucas Piazon that gave us that famous away win there back in, was it 2016? I think, 2015, oh. I think it was even.
So fans' favourite, Lucas Piazon. It doesn't get enough
fans' favourites.
Absolutely.
I shouldn't really have brought his name up on this podcast. I feel like I'm just blasphemed or something. Like, yeah. You'll have to excuse me, everyone. I'm sorry. Disgrace. I'm sorry to bring back those memories.
Get off. You're going to block you. You're absolute disgrace. Right then. Thanks a lot for listening. If you've enjoyed it, give us a 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you listen. We really appreciate it. And make sure that you also listen to both parts of the Mark Bowen podcast, which reminder is coming out tomorrow. Cheers. Thanks a lot for listening. Bye.